Appreciate the songs. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. I think when the lesson's over tonight, you might get that more and more and more. Encounter many blessings. We have a lot of reasons to be counting blessings, a lot of reasons to be happy. In your Bibles, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, any affliction and affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That part of Scripture is titled, I saw on the internet, "Unity Through Humility." And when we think about our mind and the way we think and the way we interact with other people, I think it's very important for us to have a right attitude. Tonight's lesson is one that all of us, including myself, need from time to time to reflect upon, and I believe that we can all benefit from it, so I want to get right into it. The first thing I want to ask is, have you ever heard somebody say, "I have a bad attitude, and I'm not afraid to use it"? You know, people say things like that. Or maybe you've heard somebody say something like, "My attitude will always be based on how you treat me." And sadly, for them, life will not be pleasant, because the truth is, many people, especially in the service industry, when you deal with people, they won't necessarily treat you very well. And if your attitude is based upon how other people treat you, then you're going to be tested. And we know it doesn't have to be like that, don't we? We know that our Lord Jesus hung on the cross and He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke chapter 23 and verse 24. We don't have to follow the attitude of some. You know, just not too long ago, I got a haircut, and I very, very gently, and not on purpose, but I bumped into a man's bumper hitch that was sticking out that far on his van. I couldn't see it. And I didn't even know I touched it, but I know I was moving an inch and an inch. He got out of his van, and boy, he was so mad at me. And he was really upset. And instead of being upset with him, I just remembered the words of Solomon, "A soft answer turns away wrath." You know, the point being that those who think that their attitude is based on me will often be very unkind. The truth about attitudes is that a bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you're not going to go anywhere. And so maybe you can kind of guess what the lesson is tonight. The lesson, of course, is it's all about church attitude. Jesus said, "Let this mind be," or Paul rather said, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus our Lord." And attitude, though it's a very, very important character trait, it's often overlooked. Attitude is often just kind of swept under the blanket or under the rug, and attitude is often described, you know, it's a heart condition. Maybe as Solomon put it, we would understand that you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We can't blame other people for what comes out of our hearts. And I think if Solomon were here tonight and he saw all those posters up that I think he would have seen all the graphics, and he probably would have said, "For as a man thinketh, so also is he. As you think in your heart, so also will you be." And so attitude is critical. And how we look and how we feel about anything, especially the important things like the relationships that we have with people, members of the church, the body of Christ. The truth is that attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. And when I call it a little thing, it's not because it's not important. It's because a lot of people overlook it. They kind of allow you to transgress, and instead of helping you or guiding you with, and loving you in truth, they tend to just say, "Well, you know, he's like that. She's like that." But we can't be like that. In the little time that we have tonight, I'd like to take a look at some of the first century attitudes that members of the church had as they were then and as we should be today. The first one, of course, is they gave themselves. They gave themselves first to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, of course, this is referring to the giving, the aid in which was given. But it says that in all things they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And it's difficult to get some people to rely, to really and truly give themselves over to the Lord. Many people, you know, people get, they're baptized and it seems like it kind of stops there. Mindsets don't change, attitudes don't change, and they're not truly giving themselves to the Lord. You know, they go home rejoicing, but unlike some, they end up living life day to day just like they did before. And so we need to be able to get in and fix the roots of the problems. It's essential to understand our proper relationship is dependent with God and with people depends on our attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul, he said, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" The point of this is that my attitude reflects God. Why does it reflect God? It reflects God because I'm not my own, because I was bought at a price, and I should be glorifying God with my body and in my spirit. My attitude. And that's the way they were in that first century church. At least that was the instructions given. And so we have to remember that we belong to God. And we have to put Him first and above all things. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Matthew 22:37, we know what that is. "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That helps us to have the right attitude. Secondly, spend and be spent. Spend and be spent. We think about the love of Paul for the brethren, the love of Paul that he had, and think in terms of, wow, he cared a lot, and he had the right attitude. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul that said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." Imagine that. The Apostle Paul is going to spend himself and be spent for me. And the more he does it, the more he loves me, the less he's loved. But that shows you how much importance Paul placed upon another person. He truly did think of other people greater than himself. He had the right attitude. The mind, that mind, "Let this mind be in you," that he talked about, was not a hypocritical statement because he actually believed that. It was the Apostle Paul who said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." If we're looking for a great imitation, somebody to imitate, it would be somebody that imitates Christ. In the church today, we don't have to go back to Paul. In the church today, we can have people who are being like-minded, having the same love, the same joy, the one accord of one mind. We can have the people. We can see people who have fellowship through the Spirit, as Paul wrote here in Philippians. We can see people who have that kind of mind, interest of others, which was also in Christ. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You see, he gave himself naked, peril. He was in the water. He went hungry. He was stoned. He was whipped with lashes. He gave himself. And I don't believe Paul ever regretted one moment. He had that mindset to spend and be spent for the saints. It's a great attitude to have. You know, at this point, I would ask two questions. When we think about being spending and being spent, to give ourselves completely, just to no matter what the extent is, for the love of the church, for the love of the brethren, for the love of God, can you remember any times, can you recount times in your life when you were spent? When you spent all of your effort doing something, it could be any project, something at work, something you did at home, even to the extent of playing, where you just couldn't go anymore, where you had to sit down and you just kind of exhausted. And I think we probably all could think of some time in our lives. I remember climbing a mountain. It was a 4,000-foot high mountain, and I climbed from sea level to 4,000 feet, and believe me, that spent you. But then, if you can think of a time that you've done that in your life, now can you think of a time where you have been spent in the Lord's service? Where you just exhausted yourself? You know, a lot of people will come up with a lot of the examples of their lifetime where they were just wore themselves out doing work or play or something, but we need to be able to look back and reflect like Paul and say, I spend and be spent. And speaking of relationships, and remember, we think of the attitude of the Bereans. That's another attitude we should have, searching the Scriptures daily. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, and they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they received the Word of God with readiness. And they searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that the things Paul was preaching were true. Paul's love for the Word is exemplified in his teaching, and many, many people, including us, can see that in his writings. The Scriptures themselves, they admonish us to have this great attitude. Paul wrote for us to be diligent, to present ourselves approved. The King James says, study to show yourself approved. So that we're people who are workers in the kingdom and not being ashamed in any way by our attitude before God. Again, Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. It wasn't with persuasive words, human wisdom. But he said it was a demonstration of the Spirit and the power that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We search the Scriptures and we learn those things from the Apostle Paul. And he didn't give himself the credit. It is the wisdom of God, the power of God, and it is the Spirit that we look for. And so searching the Scriptures daily really does help our attitude in this world. That's one thing that we can count on. And it's one thing to search the Scriptures. It's another thing to memorize Scripture. But it's quite another thing to accept those things that are in the Scriptures. That's what those in Thessalonica did. They were the ones who received the Word of God. And they thanked God. They were thankful. The Apostle Paul said he was thankful that they were, and reasoned also, they thanked God. He thanked God without ceasing for them. Why? Because when they received the word, they received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. The Apostle Paul said that they received the word of God, which is something they heard from the apostles. And when they received that, they welcomed it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And that's the attitude we have to have toward the scriptures. It is the word of God. It's the word of truth. And we need that. And what happens to us when this attitude about the word of God begins to develop in us? What Paul said is it effectively works in you who believe. That's what happens when we have the right attitude. When we look at the Word of God, not as a book written by men, not as a scholarly work, not as a book of poetry or stories, but the words of God. Breathe right out of God's mouth. Through the apostles, through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, and then out on that pen on paper. Having the attitude that this is something special. We accept the Bible for what it truly is, God breathed. And the people, most important, the members of the church, would just get this one thing down. It would help us to have that right attitude that Paul was so thankful that these in Thessalonica had. You know, we think of righteous living because that's what it works that righteousness in us. So another great attitude is simply, I am clean. I want you to think about that. I am clean. Now that was the Apostle Paul that said that. He said, but when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments, and he said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. You remember what those Jews were who opposed Paul. What were they opposing? What did they say? Look at in Acts chapter 18, and in verse 5 is where we're at. Paul, he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. They opposed that. You know, they had the wrong attitude. But Paul says, I'm clean. He was not held guilty of the blood of Christ out of unbelief. And we need to have that attitude. We need to be able to say, I am clean. I have no problem proclaiming to you the whole counsel of God. You know, we're not going to be clean if we walk in unbelief like those Jews. And not only did Paul walk away from those Jews, but he didn't walk away very far. In fact, the Scriptures tells us that he walked out of the synagogue and went right next door to Justice, a man named Justice. It tells us that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed, and that many of the Corinthians believed, and that Justice, and that they were baptized, all because he had the right attitude. He didn't yield for a minute to false teachers and to those who didn't believe. And so we need to be clean in our thoughts, our spirit, so that we have a lack of guilt. Well, from here, we can, without a shadow of a doubt, claim that these events prove that Paul's attitude toward the gospel was a very serious one. In fact, he was the one that wasn't ashamed. And that's an attitude that we need to have. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so we have the gospel of God, according to the salvation of God. And Christ says that this gospel is for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And he wasn't ashamed of this gospel. He wasn't. We notice what Paul followed up with now. In chapter 1, verse 16, in verse 17, he follows up with something. It's the revealing of God's righteousness and the joy of living by faith. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The right attitude, to not be ashamed, to walk in faith, and not to fear any man. And the good news is that this contains that righteousness of God. The psalmist, he wrote, "My tongue shall speak of your word, and all your commandments are righteousness." And so it's all there. Everything that we talk about when we think of the gospel and walking in faith and living in righteousness, it's all there in the word. And that's what has the power to save all. So how's your memory? How's your memory? You know, mine's not that good. Today, after the services this morning, I closed up my laptop. I took it home. I put it on my counter and my table, and I opened it up and got it all started. And then I went into my office to do something, and I came back out to get some information and realized it was on my laptop, and came back to the building here to get it. And when I got over here, I stood there looking at this empty spot, and I thought, where's my laptop? And we're talking about a time of like 4 or 5 minutes. And that's not uncommon, I guess, so... But you know, there's benefits in having a short memory. The best benefit I can think of here is forgetting the things which are behind. That's what we need to do. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, we need to turn our backs against everything old, things that have been passed. And I'm not talking about family and friends or joyful experiences. I'm just saying, don't go back to the world. Don't look back at those things. I remember a story that a brother preached one year, and I don't know if you guys ever heard this, but he said he had a friend who drove truck on the interstate, and he drove this truck where it didn't have one trailer, it didn't have two trailers, but it had three trailers. And that thing, if you've ever seen those, they go down the road and they're wiggling around like this. And he asked his truck driver friend, he said, "Ben, how in the world, when you look back at that," he says, "how do you not fear? You know, I'd be terrified to see those trailers going like that." And he says, "I just remember Lot's wife." And that's what we need to be in our life. We need to remember Lot's wife. We can't live in the past, especially when we have issues in the past. You know, if Brother Joe said something mean to me today, I guarantee you tomorrow I'd just be loving him to death. I would. I'd pick him because he never says anything mean. But it's the truth. You can say something and just let it go. And the Apostle Paul had to not remember the past. His past was pretty bad. He was persecuting the church. The church, he drugged men and women off to be persecuted. Don't remember the past. Jesus taught us that lesson. When he talked about not looking back, he said that no one having put his hand on the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. It's a good attitude to have. Now the next attitude is most likely my most prized attitude because I link it to everything that I have ever received in Christ. And I know that without this attitude that I would not be here today, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be what I am today. In fact, the truth is that this great attitude from God, it fed me. And it freed me. Fed me the Word and freed me from this world and from being enslaved by the world. Quite simply, the attitude, by the way, don't look back to the world when you have heaven ahead. I miss that. But the attitude is not seeking to please men. And you might say, well, Dave, how can that be so precious? How is it that kind of an attitude was so important to you? Because I spent my life worrying about what everybody else thought. I would have been terrified that somebody might be different in their thinking than me. And therefore, I never really argued. I didn't talk much to people back then. You might appreciate me back then because I think my sermons would have been about 4 minutes. My wife can tell you I wasn't a big talker. You know, but Paul told the churches in Galatia, he says, "For do I now please men or God? For if I yet seek to please men, if I'm pleasing men, then I'm no longer a servant of God. I'm no longer a servant of Christ." You know, we indeed are free from being under the bondage of fear of other men, under the feet of men. Many in the church today, they're still enslaved by this. Many people, when somebody opposes their thoughts, their views about the gospel, when somebody has contrary ideas, when they tell us we're wrong and about instrumental music or about homosexuality or same-sex marriage or adultery and marriage and divorce and any of the subjects, and many people just cower down out of fear because they're worried about not hurting somebody else's feelings. Listen, never, and you know, I say never should we ever be overly concerned about criticism or about scorn or about differences of doctrine. We shouldn't be worried about people hating us. People who don't believe. People who don't understand. Because we're not out to please God, to please men. We're out to be bondservants of Christ. You know, Paul, he's the one that said that who we should be like Paul. He said, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." He's the one we have to please. He's the one we have to be approved of. And we are like Paul because we have been approved of God. We are the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and so we should be speaking. That's an awesome mindset, a great characteristic of a Christian. We don't fear those who can kill the body. We fear Him who can destroy both the body and the soul. And so I know that for me, not fearing people, not fearing somebody having a difference of opinion, not fearing a rebuke or it's lifted me out of a terrible place that I was in, being manipulated and controlled by everybody around. Well, last but not least of all these attitudes, everyone should have this attitude, and that is to say that I'm ready. You know, I think most of us here are ready. And there's a few things that we need to be ready to do, not just ready to die, but we need to be ready to preach the gospel. That's what we need to be ready to do. You know, I love that verse 15. Everybody seems to remember, you know, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Romans 1:16. But 1:15 is precious because I think about the Apostle Paul. And sometimes it's exactly how I feel. when he used those words, so much as in me is. I am ready to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So much as in me is. And I don't know, but I take that as he's just bursting at the seams. He's got to talk about Jesus. He's got to tell people about their sin and about their salvation in Christ. So much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. And also, we need to be ready to go to God. In other words, we have to have our life straight. We need to be baptized into Christ. We need to be a part of His kingdom, as we talked about this morning. We need to be working diligently in the vineyard. And then when He walks or comes down out of the sky, and in that moment in time, or the twinkling of an eye, when everything's changed, we'll be ready. Because listen, there isn't a time spans between not ready and ready when Jesus comes. You're either ready or you're not. We need to be ready to go. The Apostle Paul was the one who said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." He's looking at the time of his departure was at hand. That's when he was going to die. He believed he was ready to go. And what was it that he did so that he could be confident that he was ready? He kept the faith. He fought the good fight. And he finished the race. And we need to be having that attitude daily. Don't wait till next Sunday. Daily. We need to be ready. We fight the good fight, knowing that our departure is at hand. It could be any time. And he fought that good fight. And he kept the faith. And he said, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." Are you ready? If you've obeyed Christ, you're ready. If you haven't, you're not. It's that simple. Because he said, "Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." All of us. All those who died before us. When those graves will be opened and those who are ready will be raised up to eternal life along with us. Are you ready? That's the attitude, that mindset that the church had. That's the attitude, the mindset that we must have. You know, these attitudes of the first century Christians, they're vitally needed today in the 21st century. And not one of us can't benefit from a good attitude adjustment. How do we get the attitude adjustment? Remember, we study the Scriptures. We trust and obey. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we all will benefit by reflection, comparison, and adoption of those wonderful character attitudes. And we all need to look to ourselves and ask, "Have I obeyed the gospel? Truly. Have I obeyed the gospel?" So, that's the lesson. Are you ready? Is the question. Are you ready? What is your attitude towards God right now today? You know, are you somebody that might say there is no God? Is that you? There is no God? Because that's not a good attitude. The psalmist said in Psalm 53:1 that it is the fool who says in his heart there is no God. What kind of attitude do you have about God today? Are you somebody who thinks maybe I have time before I get baptized, or I just have time to think about this? And that's quite foolish also, because we all know that tomorrow's not promised to anyone. The Bible talks of a man who was all set and ready to live his life in comfort and joy, and this night his soul was required. Luke chapter 12. So are you ready? Can you tell me, is tomorrow the sun going to shine? Will there even be a sun tomorrow? Can you tell me, will it snow tomorrow? Will it rain? Is it going to snow tonight, or is it going to rain? Will the temperature be high, or will it be low? Can you tell me exactly what it'll be? When you leave this building, will your car start? I saw a lot of heads going like this. I hope you're just agreeing with me. Because we don't know. Right? When you get home, will you have power? Will you have energy in your house to drive your furnace and keep you from freezing tonight? We need to remember that our life is like that. We just don't know. Our life goes by so quickly. We know that. No one can deny that. It's like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. The real question is, when is your tomorrow? Is your tomorrow right now? Are you living your tomorrow? If you've not obeyed the gospel, well, I encourage you to do so tonight. And if you have obeyed the gospel and you need help in any way, that's why we're here, to help you. So whatever your need may be, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.